I think we're on the air. Did I hear him say 5-4-3-2-1? This is Wayne Free, and this is our Monday night conference call, BBS Radio Simulcast. And welcome to all of you who are listening. Hear all those background noises? Because we have a bunch of people on our conference call. And a little, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Uh-oh.
I'm here. I was muted.
Okay.
I was muted.
So, just to give a little introduction while we're waiting until 6 o'clock, this is a really unusual call, and I'm the guy that wrote the book, The Reincarnation. See? Even more. Uh-oh, your dog's in the background.
Vin, don't forget to record and maybe press also mute.
Thank you. I guess that's a good idea. I should start to record. That's my producer. Eyes in the galley, just a moment.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
I know we have some new people on the line. We just did our Conscious Life Expo, and we met loads and loads of people, wonderful people, and I gave a talk there, and people were just sitting in the aisles, so we told everybody to check this out. And I was saying, I wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. David Wilcock was my co-writer.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
And for those of you who are fans of David's, I approach David's work in a different way than he does, because my original attraction was through his channelings. And the book is based on his channelings, and the voice that was speaking through him, which I made an extensive study on, probably in the year 2000-2001, and there was very, very extraordinary new view as to the way the universe worked. And that's what actually stimulated me to write the book. Welcome all of you that are checking into the conference call. And when you guys that are listening on the internet hear that bing, you know someone is coming in and listening in on the call. And while I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I had a new friend that spontaneously started to channel. And this initial phase of the first time I was having this experience, I didn't know what to make of it, but this voice that was talking to me said that they were the Elohim, and that historically, the Elohim is the energy, the group energy, that was responsible for the creation of the physical universe. And in this initial phase, they did a couple of things. I better mute everybody so I don't feel offended when they hang up. It's probably somebody from the previous show.
All callers are muted.
So the Elohim said they created this realm, and they did a couple of things which caught my attention, like saving my sister's life in a medical miracle and predicting a newspaper headline in advance. And they confirmed all of the cosmologies that I was writing about in the book, which I was working on when this happened, about David Wilcock's channeling called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And doing these Monday night conference calls was one of the things, and I've been doing this now for a couple of years, my way of trying to put this out so that other people could share in this new understanding of the way things worked down here. And there's two things that happen on this call. One thing is that we share incredible understandings that I don't think have ever been brought to a public forum before. And second of all, these energies of these groups that are talking to me have the ability to connect their energy with those of you who are listening. And many people on this call have felt that connection. So if you're listening for the first time, you may not be open to it. You're probably checking it out, and that's okay. And if you're open to it, just be open and be neutral. And the way they feel, the way that I feel, well, maybe not everyone feels them in the same way, but I feel, how do I describe this? Terry, are you on the line, Terry? Hello, Terry.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Terry happens to be one of those people who is able to be a voice for the Elohim, and they can speak through her. When you feel them, how does it feel them, Terry? Now, she's an expert, but a lot of regular people feel them, too. But how do you feel when you feel them in your space?
They're soft and they're loving, and they're patient, although they're very quick because their time is a different time. I mean, they think that we are going very slow here. In fact, we are going very slow here in comparison to the timeline when they come into the higher density.
You're a little muffled right now. Is it better? Where was your microphone?
Pardon?
I think you're better now. Say something.
Okay, yeah, I picked up the mic. I'm holding it.
That's much, much better, okay?
Okay.
Hold it just in that position right now, and it's perfect. It's not muffled. It's plenty loud. So one of the basic precepts of these guys in higher dimensions is what they call the Law of One. And the way that translates is that although on the earth plane, we don't necessarily experience the Law of One very easily, it is possible to experience it. And the Law of One, in its most simple explanation, means that we are all part of one energy. The universe is entirely one energy. The voices that speak to us are part of us, part of our energy. But most people who are in physical bodies don't experience that. And the reason they don't experience it is because there's usually not any physical representation of that energy in this realm. So we are conditioned to experience those things we can sense with our senses. And so we have an energy that is not able to be seen, heard, smelled, felt by our physical bodies directly. So occasionally they find someone down here who they can speak through, And when you have them speaking through somebody, there's an energy that comes in with that. And this is how it unfolded for me. I was talking to them through Terry while I was writing the book, and I started to feel the energy present when we would have these communications. And then when I would talk to the public, or I'd go up and give talks about my book, that energy came into the room, and other people in the room, I didn't even know what was going on. Quite frankly, I never addressed it until people would come out of the room of a public talk. They go out and purchase books and say, and they would be telling Terry, who was there selling the books, we could feel the energies. We could see light in the room. And it became a very consistent experience whenever I would do a talk. And I asked them, hey, if I do this on a conference call, could you work with the people on the call? And they said they could. So for me, it was just an experiment. Would this work? Could people feel it if I do a conference call? And so we started that, and people could feel energies. And how does it feel? For just a moment, you can shut your eyes. And what I feel, personally, is I feel a lot of energy in the top of my head. And I can kind of see, I don't know if see is the right word, but for lack of other words, I can see little light flecks in the top of my head. And I can feel myself expanded outside of my body into the space around me. And I learned that we as humans all have this ability to expand and connect with each other vibrationally. Sometimes people talk about the quantum field. There's this field that connects us all that we can't sense with our physical senses. But when we start connecting with it, unusual things can happen in our lives. It would be if you were thinking of someone and suddenly the phone rang and it was them. Some people have had that experience. That would indicate to me that you were connecting with the field, and as they thought of calling you, that thought transferred through the field, and you were thinking of them, and the moment later the phone rings. So psychic, what we call normally psychic abilities, really has to do with people that are able to access this field, and then they can feel other people through the field. And at first it may seem like your imagination, but after a while, if you're really doing it, it starts to become somewhat consistent. And you wonder, I wonder how that works. So this is how it works. You're accessing the field, and you're becoming more intuitive, and you're getting flashes. And these sources that we're working with are in that field. Now, that doesn't mean everything in that field is positive. It most definitely is not true. There's things that can be accessed in that field that are negative or service to self. And so if one starts to expand their field, it's good to not just look for phenomena or look for people talking to you from other realms. Some people want to do that. First thing is to really, really learn the frequency of the highest sources, which I believe are these two group souls that are in the field and that are very much in service to human beings and have a very hard time making themselves known to us, since they're invisible and since they don't have physical representations. And throughout history, there have been those people who we call channels, who are able to connect more directly with them, and they can speak to us through those people. And of course, I said that there are negative sources. So whenever one is involved in this idea of channeling, you must use a lot of discernment when you're listening to a voice from another realm. And every single time, make sure that it has the criteria of what I call a positive source. And that means they don't control you. They honor your free will. They don't build your ego. They don't create fear. And it feels loving. And if it doesn't fit that criteria, then it's probably best to not listen to such a source. So I went through quite a bit of my own testing over a long time, as did Terry, to come to the conclusion that I think who we're talking to is who they say they are. But if you're listening for the first time, or even for the first few times, let that resonance develop slowly. Don't believe that who we're talking to is who, how I'm identifying them. Let it build. It's kind of like a courtship. Like if you're meeting someone that you might have a relationship with, it's far better to get to know them for a while before you are sure they're the one. So, we thank you all for listening. And usually, and I'll do this tonight, we have a bunch of people listening on BBS radio over the internet, and we have another group of people that are listening over the telephone line on a conference call. If you're listening and you're interested in finding more about this, I have a service that I call Message a Day, messageaday.net. And you can go there and sign up, and you'll get some of the transcriptions of these messages from other realms with my comments, and you'll get notices of all the calls we do in your email, plus the conference line numbers, so you can feel free to join in either way by listening on BBS or listening on the conference line. And I thought I'd let some of the people on the conference line say hello. And I know we have Hayes in Magalia, California, and Rick in Maui, and they're all muted now, so.
All callers are unmuted.
And I just unmuted everybody. Anybody else on the line want to say hello? You're being broadcast live to the world over the internet.
Hey, Wiz, it's John.
John McKay. John McKay is my favorite auto mechanic in Sedona. Who else is on the line?
Greg Novella.
Wait a second, who was that?
Rick Novella from California, San Andreas.
Rick Novella. Novella?
Yes, I'm here.
Rick, are you in, did you say San Andreas?
San Andreas, California.
San Andreas. I didn't know, you mean there's a city named after the fault line, huh?
I'm in South Carolina. My name is Cheryl.
Cheryl, hi, Cheryl.
How are you?
And thanks. And who else?
I'm Judy from Kent Bury, Arizona.
Judy from Camp Verde.
Camp Verde.
Right around the corner from Sedona.
Yeah, you bet.
And who else?
Judy from Kansas.
Judy from Kansas?
Yes.
Hi, Judy. Is this your first time?
Yes.
Well, very welcome to you.
Thank you.
And who else?
I'm in Florida.
Oh, Florida. Hi, Al. Al's a regular. Oh, can you feel the energies on the line? Have you learned to do that?
I think so. I hope so. I feel, you know, good every time I call in, so.
And who else is on the line?
This is Ed from Los Angeles.
Ed? Ed from L.A.?
Yeah, this is it. Yeah,
is that Ed who we met over the weekend?
Yep.
Hi, Ed.
How you doing? Hi, Terry.
Terry, Ed said hello to you. Are you there?
Yes. Hello, Ed.
Okay.
Hi, Terry.
Anyone else want to say hello?
Hi, Terry.
Terry, they're all saying hello to you. Okay. So, anyone else that didn't say hello, you can do it as a group. One, two, three.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello from Maui.
Thank you all.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
So I just muted you all. We started a series, I guess, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, 2 months ago. And when I talk to these guys, it's like I have to figure out what do I want to share with them. Now, oftentimes they'll come in and they will start talking to all of us and tell us whatever is in their, I don't know if I would say minds, in their minds to say. Let me mute it so we don't hear when people.
Or they're muted. Entry and exit chimes are off.
So, we started a dialogue, and I had no idea what was going to be said and what the answers would be. And it's fairly unusual to do something like this in a public way. And one of the reasons we can do it is because of a number of people on the conference line that have been coming in that have helped hold the energy and a protective energy. Because it does take protective energy to bring this through. It's not really under the category of entertainment. It's in different periods of the evolution of mankind, probably the word sacred would be attached to it. So to do something sacred in a public way where you can't control who listens, it means that we have to be strong enough to hold the energy so that you can go through whatever changes you have to go through to come to your own discernment. Because we feel the energies of the line. I feel the energies. Everyone feels energies. You know, you walk into a room, you feel good vibes and bad vibes. So there's enough people holding the positive energy here so that it creates the space, the protected space, so we can have these kinds of communications. And really, talking to them about how they created this realm is a pretty amazing conversation, because when you hear the nature of the way the information comes forth, it's obvious that Terry could not possibly make this up. I couldn't make it up. No one could make it up. I mean, they talk about, I guess, bringing people up to speed that are listening to give you an idea. Originally, this is my iteration of what I've learned over the course of this series of calls is originally there was one consciousness of awareness in the universe. And this one consciousness of awareness made the decision to subdivide itself so that there was other consciousnesses to have fun with, I guess, to not be lonely, to not be the only thing. And these original first breakoffs from this one consciousness were the Elohim. And the Elohim were kind of experimenting. They can correct me. They probably will, but I'm just trying to give my brief review. They were experimenting and found that through a way of shooting their energies and creating nodes, there would be a persistence and a concentration of energy that became the beginning of a physicalized universe. And initially it was like fun. It was like a painter painting a painting and having the joy of creation. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there were life forms, and there was DNA, and they've actually touched on explaining some of this and how it got created. And, of course, we are the end result of that over billions of years. And somehow, things got a bit out of hand because some of the higher forces that were just spirits ended up coming into this realm. And when they came into this realm, it was kind of amnesia that set in. They didn't know where they came from. They came in incarnating. And because they were higher spirits, they had a lot of power in this realm. So many of them started to feel the power they had, maybe not even knowing where it came from, and found that they could enslave other beings who didn't have that kind of power. And there became a hierarchy, and there was a division of what you could call positive and negative, or sometimes, as they call it, service to self and service to other. And beings got trapped in this realm in cycles of reincarnation. And for many people, it became what was supposed to be a joyous experience became not so joyous. And it became struggle and suffering. And a forgetting of their original nature and their potentials. So when we have communication with them, there's the potential to connect and learn about how this works, because there's a lot of keys in untrapping ourselves. Now, the interesting thing is there are beings who have untrapped themselves. There are beings, entities who have gone through series of physical lives, sometimes thousands according to them, and they untrapped themselves and graduated from this realm. And that group of beings that graduated from this realm became a conglomerate group soul separate from the Elohim group soul, and that they dedicated themselves towards helping those people who were still trapped. And throughout the period of humanity, that second group soul has been one of those sources that perhaps was responsible for spiritual movements, religions. They were whispering in the ears of some of the great teachers. And the voice that identifies itself to us on this call explains themselves to be a partnership of these, both of these group souls. The Elohim group, soul that's made up of graduates, is the Ra group. And we do three of these calls a week, which, if you start listening to them regularly, can create a real shift in your own experience of life in this realm. And you things start viewing things, and not only viewing things, but expanding yourself into a larger, what I call, hologram. And one of the unique aspects of a human being is that everyone has the ability to expand themselves. But most people don't know it's possible, don't know how to do it, don't know where to start, and they're trapped in the reality system that they've lived with for many lifetimes. So there's a potential for opening up to a new reality system, a new expansion of possibilities, and ultimately be a co-creator with these energies and these intelligences from higher realms. Keeping in mind, we started out when we were talking about the law of one, that if the whole universe is one being, then being able to access that oneness for yourself. And of course, when you learn to access this quality of oneness, one of the signposts in this realm is you suddenly have the quality of compassion, because compassion is the ability to see someone else as part of yourself. So that's the first signpost that you've changed. And then you start having the abilities of being more intuitive. I could use the word psychic. Psychic sometimes is not the best word to use because it sounds like a power, but it's actually, to a certain degree, it's a byproduct of the law of one. It's the ability to tune in to another person's energy. And then when you tune into their energy, you feel like them. And when you feel like them, you know things about them. And suddenly it comes back as a psychic awareness. It's not a big mystery. It's just a manifestation of the law of one. So I'm going to bring them in, and we're going to discuss more about the creation of the universe and learn some of the mysteries of why we're here, how we got here, and what we can do to elevate and expand ourselves in this realm, which, according to them, is a very difficult realm. It is the most dense, perhaps most dense planet in the universe, and it's not an easy job being here. And some of us came here, actually, from higher realms to be of assistance. And most often, when somebody makes that decision to come here from a higher realm, they forget that they made that decision. And they get lost, once again, in this realm. And so many people who have been listening to my work have reminded themselves, it resonated. Because until you, if you come in from a higher dimension to be here to be of service, and this is not an ego trip, and it doesn't mean you're perfect. In fact, sometimes people that come in from higher dimensions to be here get all kinds of new age diseases like fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, because your system has a hard time being in such a dense environment. And I'm going to call in the light. Calling in the light is my invocation to oneness. It's verbally intending that we connect with each other and bring in the energies of these sources. And just checking, Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay.
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on this line. You might shut your eyes and look at the top of your head and see if you feel energies as I say this. We take any negativity and release it into the higher realms of light for the highest good of all concerned. We ask that it be transmuted. And right now, we invoke a blending of everyone's energy on this line who would free willingly choose to experience this, and we create a group energy. And we invite those sources that are positive service to others operating in the Christ of light to join, merge, blend with our energies for the time of this call and share some of their view of the nature of the interaction between higher dimensions and this dimension for all those who are openly searching, looking to feel and connect with those ideas. And do we have a source present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator, and we are pleased to be with each and every one of you tonight. Do you have a direction you wish us to go?
Well, we announced that we're talking about the creation of this realm. And although I don't completely understand all the conversations we've had, I've kind of got a feeling for it, and I would like to keep penetrating into it. And how it started where you didn't necessarily even know what you were doing and how it was going. And it was great fun to shoot energy and create nodes and see things solidify. And as you observed this original solidification of energy into physicalness or matter, how did it progress from the original first awareness that there was something that was persisting and there was something called time-space space-time being originated. Can you share a little bit of the experience of that first cognition of observation of the beginnings of this realm?
When the first creation occurred and there was no visio, no sight, and we then looked and we saw great cosmic clouds, similar in some way to thunderclouds billowing up, although they were not rain clouds, they were not thunderclouds, they were the condensations of form manifesting and beginning to glow, and it took our energy breath away, and we were in awe of what happened, and we thought we had broken something. We were looking at each other through our energy eyes, kind of aghast and agape at what has happened here and what do we have. We did not expect this kind of a result. And as distances were defined by the great cosmic clouds and the great gamma rays and the shooting energy, we were in a state of wonder, and we were frozen for a little bit as we watched it billowing up. And there wasn't a lot of others around that in the form now one can speak with in a focused, condensed matter. And the echoing, much like a sonar ping to another, would resonate, and we would, in wonderment, hear and resonate with it, and we thought we had best not do anything for a long time, as we didn't know what we had done to our playground.
How many individuated Elohim souls were there involved in this creation? Were all involved, or were some just watching and others were involved?
Some were watching and others were involved, but all became involved after the origination as it resonated through all.
And how many Elohim souls were there at this time?
At the start, there were two.
Two?
Two.
And there were two?
More were formed or began to collect and to manifest and learn the ability of manifesting and dematerializing.
Could,
and there were 20.
an Elohim soul could manifest. I'm asking this. This is a question. There was what we call the one infinite creator or the original cause that created the first two. And the first two were actually one. And did the first two then continued to replicate and create more Elohim souls?
More were created as the vibrations moved out and the two were broken into more.
And right now, at this moment, if an Elohim soul chose to replicate itself, it could do that, yes?
It is not something we have been thinking of. The answer is yes, however, one, after this much time, we had a hard time with this question in that one has one's own territory and one's own focus. And that is operational and one can travel. The thought of breaking up into more, it is possible, however, we do not dwell upon that.
You do have various councils and sub-councils that became organized. When did you start organizing into councils with various specific roles? For example, in many of the original channelings, the voice that spoke to me identified itself as the Council of An, and it was said that the Council of An was responsible for the translation of a specific language in a different realm back to source. I don't know if you would say that the same thing right now. But how
yes,
did the organization... You would?
Yes.
And how did that... Those councils, when did... How did you come to create councils to coordinate the physical universe?
As the need showed for the understanding of what has happened, and there was a curfew. Conferring. Other areas went off into mathematics and the division of creation of cells or life housing units and began to then make models that life could inhabit.
Now, it's my understanding that within the universe, there are multiple dimensions or multiple timelines, and that there are beings in consciousness at these various multiple dimensions. How did the beginning of multiple dimensions get started?
The change in density because there is life and intelligence all through everything, through all that is. So as territory was developed and was outcropped from the spinning modalities, it
brought life with it, and it defined the life within the form that was thus created. And then this life would carry on.
I would assume that the very first manifestation of physicalness would have been gases that somehow condensed into becoming form. Is that accurate?
Yes, what we first saw were gases that were billowing up in a black blue outlined by lighter colors, light pink, and moving into white, were clouds that could be defined as gases.
Now, did these gases have any consciousness or awareness?
Yes. All has intelligence and life and consciousness, although it is not all aware of itself. It is being whatever it is being with consciousness, and so may be communicated with.
So the original gases had to contract to become some kind of solid form. Was that contraction originated by the free will choice of the consciousness of the gas, or was it caused by an intention of the Elohim?
Both could interact, and once the gas was billowing up, it followed the pattern, the direction of the impetus that created it, which at first was a tremendous blast and upward movement. The form could be moved and worked with the Elohim, by the Elohim as the Elohim